It's time once again to step out, step up, and step into the Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons. Rick's expertise in the coming out process has helped hundreds of men and women step out of the closet to live authentically as gays and lesbians, freeing you from the feelings of guilt and shame. Rick's heart-centered approach is loaded with bankable advice and take action tips for living powerfully on the other side of the closet door. Each week, the Coming Out Lounge brings you heartwarming coming out stories, thought-provoking insights, and diverse perspectives for living out and proud. Pull up a chair and spend an inspiring hour in the Coming Out Lounge, stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your truth. Here's the host of your show, Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons.
And welcome, everyone. Happy Wednesday. And boy, we're just 1 week away from Thanksgiving here in the U.S. And if you're listening from other countries, we invite you to celebrate with us. But we're also stepping further and further into our future and letting things from the past become the past. And over the last few weeks, as we here in the U.S. went through our political elections and once again elected Barack Obama to be our president, I couldn't help but really observe what was happening in the political landscape, as I know so many other people did as well, especially being a gay man, being a gay father, and watching the different things that have begun to really be important on the life front, whether you're gay or straight. The battles being fought for gay rights, lesbian rights, transgender, they're all having an impact on our society. Even to the point that it seems that you can't pick up a paper, read an online news magazine without knowing that somewhere in our beautiful world, someone is once again saying that gay people just should not be considered human, should not be treated equally, or could even be a bane in society. And it was just a few weeks ago that even the Pope himself stated that he felt that gay people weren't fully developed humans. And I know I just recently did a show about sexuality and spirituality, but I had met the guest who's going to be on the show just prior to the beginning of summer. We had connected through Facebook. And I had him on the Coming Out Day show back on the 11th of October. And his story inspires me, and it shows me how powerfully when you live by your own values and by your own belief systems, that there is a way for everything to reside and to coexist in this world. And regardless of what your religious beliefs are or your spirituality is, this show is truly about how do we begin to truly break down and begin to take those barriers and set them aside so that those who are coming through this closet door or on the other side of the closet door or families who have someone that are going through the closet doors can all coexist in a really beautiful space of how do we make religion, spirituality, and sexuality all coexist in the beautiful bowl of humanity. So if there's anything you'd like to tweet about today, again, it is pound coming out lounge or pound CO lounge. My Twitter account is at Rick Clemons. But I want to give as much time today to this topic because it is so, so headline news these days of all the things that are happening when we become more and more inclusive. And given the fact that four more states made huge strides towards gay rights over this election, and we even got more people into our Congress and Senate that are representing us. I just feel like this is a really powerful topic today to bring forward. How do we commingle? How do we commingle as human beings? How do we commingle as sexual beings? How do we commingle as religious and spiritual beings? So with that said, I'm going to bring my guest on. His name is Salvatore Sapienza. And he is just truly an inspiring individual. He's written a couple of books, and we'll get into that. But I want to bring Sal on right now and have him start to tell us a little bit more of his story. He told part of it when we were on the show for Coming Out Day. So, Sal, so glad to have you.
Oh, thank you so much, Rick. Good to talk with you again.
Yeah, you too. So I know when we were on the coming out, National Coming Out Day show, you told a little bit of your story. But in case someone hasn't heard that story, I just want to kind of step back and kind of start somewhat from the beginning. You actually came out of the closet and really had a fairly good experience in your coming out process. But then you made some conscious choices about how you were going to step into yourself as a gay man, as well as a very spiritual and religious person. So I'm going to let you kind of just pick the story up wherever you want to pick up and share it with our listeners.
Okay, great. Thanks, Rick. Yeah, it's true. I came out of the closet when I was in high school, came out to my parents and my friends and my teachers. And I have to say that I had a really good experience doing it. And I know that I'm extremely fortunate. When I do book signings and I travel around the country, I know that my story is really for the time that it was the 1980s, that I was very fortunate to have that experience. That said, I still felt very connected with my church. I grew up Catholic. I loved my church. I was very involved in my church. And I didn't see a reason why my being openly gay should affect my spiritual life. And so really what I tried to do was I tried to unite those two worlds. And what happened at the time for me was, as a young man in my 20s, was I felt very pulled by both sides. I felt that my church community didn't really understand the whole gay thing and was asking me to kind of keep it quiet. And then I felt that my gay friends really thought that my going to church on Sunday was really bizarre. And how could I possibly be a part of a church that was our enemy to many of them? And so here I was being pulled in two directions. And I felt an allegiance or a loyalty, for lack of a better word, to both. I wanted so badly, I remember at the time praying that I wanted so badly to be whole, that I wanted to be able to reconcile these two worlds. And I was very lucky at that time. I worked with Father Michael Judge, who was the Catholic priest who died on 9/11. They actually made a movie about his life called The Saint of 9/11. He was the New York City fire chaplain at the time, and he's the first recorded casualty of 9/11. But Father Michael was an openly gay priest, a Franciscan priest in New York, and during the AIDS crisis, the Catholic Church was not responding other than telling gay people, you know, or telling everyone not to use contraception and so on, but wasn't really responding in a way of care. And so Father Michael decided that he would start the first Catholic AIDS organization in New York, which was called St. Francis AIDS Ministry. And he and myself and a group of, there were five of us, founded this in New York. And Father Michael really helped me in many ways to be able to reconcile what it meant to celebrate my sexuality, but also embrace my spirituality. And since his passing, I've really kind of taken up that mantle in my books and in my speaking engagements of really trying to help gay people with that same struggle that many of us have of trying to find that wholeness in our lives.
Well, and I think this is really important for those that are listening to really dial into something you just said. I mean, all of it was beautiful, but one of the things is really that it is a celebration. And I know for me in my own process, this was huge because I was raised Seventh-day Adventist, so very fundamental Christian, and, you know, obviously homosexuality is viewed as a sin. But when I came through the worst of the darkness, so to speak, of coming out and then starting to live as my own self, I suddenly hit a new wall of, okay, now what about this spirituality and religious piece? Because I hold some very deep beliefs around you know, how I was raised, but it was in conflict. And then one day I remember just feeling like this sudden wave of peace came over me when I had, I wouldn't say it was a vision, but just almost like a memory that no matter what, I would be loved. And it was a message that came in really, really strong. And I can't tell you exactly where or when it hit. I just remember at the time I was living in Laguna Beach and I had been driving to work and suddenly that wave kind of came over me. And I think this is where you shared so beautifully, Sal, that, you know, the celebration of your sexuality and your spirituality really can be either the opening of the door or it can be that chapter when you close the book and say, I no longer believe otherwise. So we've got just a couple of minutes until we go to break here. My real desire would be for you to continue to share in the next segment as we go forward about how you stepped over this piece of reconciling. But before we go to break, one question I have for you. How many years did it really take for you to come into this reconciliation of sexuality and spirituality?
Oh, it took me quite a while. I would say for me to fully be able to incorporate both to a point where I really felt that wholeness was, oh, maybe 7 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. And that was really quite a struggle for me. It was most of my 30s were right. Devoted to that. Yeah. So it wasn't easy, but it was worth the struggle for sure.
Right. And, you know, it's funny. I said this the other day in a blog post that coming out isn't work, but being gay isn't. And it's kind of interesting that you say 7 to 10 years, because I think that could be very much average for many of us. So yeah. We're going to go to break. We'll be back in just a few moments as we continue talking to Salvatore Sapienza about being Catholic, being a Catholic brother in the church, working with Father Michael, and all the things that make him spiritually active in who he is as a gay man. We will be right back in just a few seconds.
You've been listening to The Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with coming out coach Rick Clements. We'll be right back after these messages.
I look into the window of my mind.
Chances are, you didn't give birth to Einstein. So why are you trying to raise your child to be like him? Welcome to Stop Raising Einstein with your host, Tara Kennedy Klein. Woohoo Radio Network's parenting show dedicated to helping you release the myth of the perfect parent and discover the unique brilliance in your child and you. Tara and her panel of amazing, intelligent, and sometimes off-the-wall guests will share the tips, tools, trends, and techniques available that will help you stop raising Einstein and start relishing your role as a proud and present parent. Join her every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time for Stop Raising Einstein, only here on the Woohoo Radio Network.
Connect with Juliana and connect with what lies beneath. Friday afternoons at 4 or 3 Central on toginet.com. Juliana is certified as a life coach who wants people to connect. Connect with what lies beneath, those truths and answers. And through her counseling practice, she has helped others find their personal power and fulfill their dreams. And she wants to do the same for you here on Connect with Juliana. Through intimate discussions, intriguing subject matters, and the expertise of her guests. For more on Juliana and her show, check out her website, connectwithjuliana.com. Juliana will cover it all. Nothing is off limits. She wants to know what matters to you. Make the connection. Tune in to TogiNet to connect with Juliana to find out the facts that could be hidden beneath the surface. Connect with Juliana on TogiNet to make a quality connection in your life. Friday afternoons at 4, 3 Central on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clements.
You we're back and we're settling into a very spiritual discussion today. And I'm really happy to have my friend Salvatore on this show, talking about his experiences coming out, being Catholic, playing some significant roles in New York City in the Catholic society. And right before the break, he talked about taking almost 7 to 10 years to really begin to settle into his own peace around sexuality and spirituality and religion. And I think this is very common for many of us who have been raised in a fundamental Christian environment. And it always strikes a chord because everybody goes over this hump in some way, shape, or form. So during that time, Salvatore, what would you say was one of the highlights or couple of highlights of really beginning to understand yourself in your sexuality and your spirituality?
Well, I guess a big highlight for me was the fact that I decided to leave the Catholic Church that I had grown up in, and that I had, after college, I joined a religious order. I was a Marist brother in the Catholic Church. And I decided to leave because I really felt that it was unhealthy for me to feel so pulled in both of those directions. And I felt like I needed to make a choice. And I guess an aha moment that I had during that time was that what we, most gay people, what we do is the churches that we've grown up in, the organized religions that we were a part of, made us feel like we didn't belong or that we were bad or wrong or whatever. And so when we began to come out and celebrate our sexuality and to become who we came here to be, we felt like we couldn't be religious anymore. And mm-hmm. So what we did was, when we left religion, I think we left spirituality. It's kind of like throwing out the baby with the bathwater. And so people, I think for me, the aha was, oh, okay, I'm now no longer a part of the Catholic Church, but that doesn't mean that I now don't do anything to nurture my spiritual side. And so I tried to really figure out, how can I be a man of prayer, be a man of service, be a man that felt connected to the divine, and still be an open and out gay man? And how could I reconcile those two? So I guess that's the story I keep hearing over and over again from gay people, is that they felt like religion was telling them that they were bad or wrong, and so they wanted nothing to do with religion. And by doing that, they also did nothing then to continue to nurture their spiritual side, which is such a big, huge part of who we are.
Sure. And I think this is something that I see in my practice a lot, is people come to a place of it's either all or nothing. And it isn't necessarily the best approach for many things in the coming out process. You know, I think all of us at some point face, we're either accepted by family or we're not, or we're accepted by friends or not. And suddenly, because that's the duality that keeps showing up so often, then suddenly when we get to we're religious or not, we've kind of begun to create a habit of it's either all or nothing. And in reality, at least this is how I coach people around many aspects of coming out, there is no all or nothing. There's many varied facets and a wide spectrum of how you step into being in your gay life and being accepted in your circles and being religious and all these different things. I think this is where we begin to create our own beautiful spectrum of how we shine brightly as a human being and a human spirit in this world. And that's what I'm hearing from you, is you came to a space of, this is how I'm going to shine in the world, being who I am and still staying true to understanding I'm a spiritual being no matter who I'm going to bed with at night.
Exactly right. You know, I think when I was a young man praying to be whole, it reminded me that whole and holy come from the same root word, and that to be a whole person means to be whole, body, mind, and spirit. And I think sometimes we don't nurture, especially we in the gay community who have been so wounded by our religious upbringings, we forget about the spiritual side. You know, we'll go to the gym, we'll take care of our bodies, you know, work on our minds and, you know, have successful lives. But there is that missing piece of the spirit. And what I try to remind people in my work is that gay people throughout history have been some of the greatest spiritual teachers. And I think that's something that a lot of gay people themselves are unaware of, how in many faith traditions, it was the gay person who was looked to historically as the person who had this great spiritual insight. And so I that's what I really would like to do, is remind us of our spiritual magnificence.
Well, and I think that's a really powerful piece here, because there is a spiritual magnificence, not only to us as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgenders, but I think there's a bridge message here to anyone that we as human beings have a spiritual magnificence. And when we don't allow that spiritual magnificence to shine through and we get caught up in the day-to-day doing stuff and becoming good at our work and becoming the best athlete or losing weight and being in the best body, all that is all well and good. But if we're not really in our spirit and we don't allow our spiritual magnificence to come forward, that's typically when we find ourselves out of alignment in our thinking and our value systems and everything else. So I'm really curious how much flack, if any, you've gotten from our own gay community, as you have said, this is who I am. I'm a really spiritual person. I'm very religious. Do you ever come up against that in our own community?
It's interesting. I haven't come up with any, say, animosity or hostility or anything like that. But oftentimes it's people who kind of give me the impression that they think it's a little odd or strange or maybe a little bit archaic. And that I think a lot of times people who express their spirituality oftentimes are kind of looked at a little bit strange. But no one has, made me feel that expressing myself in that way was wrong, just something that was a little maybe odd to them.
Right. So let's kind of go back to the past, because I think there's probably something you've experienced that many people who are coming through the closet door experienced. I know I did, but I'm going to let you kind of take this question and run with it. In those darkest moments, when you were feeling like, I can't be gay and I can't be, you know, part of God's world, or I can't be loved by my master, what were some of the heaviest thoughts you had around all that?
I think for me, it was about saying that I could only live half an existence. That was really dark for me. And I guess I kind of understood what it was like for people who had such a difficult time coming out. And I guess maybe that was the blessing of my being able to come out so easily when I was a teenager, was that I already had that component in place, and I never really struggled with that. My struggle was feeling like I would be leading half a life by not being able to be a spiritual person. So in many ways, it's kind of helped me to understand the struggle of someone who was saying, I'm a gay person, and I know that, but I can never share that with anyone, and, I can never really tell anybody in my life about it. That's living half a life, but not really living your full life of what you came here to be. And so that was the dark side for me, was I thought, well, I'm gay, so that means that I can't really live the fullness of who I am to be, which I felt was to, be a spiritual person, spiritual teacher. And the more I began to really study various faith traditions, once I kind of broke free of my Catholic upbringing and I started to study other faiths, that's when I began to see that gay people in those faiths were the people who were the spiritual teachers and who were revered for what they were, giving to their communities. Being gay wasn't looked at as being something bad. It was actually looked at as being something wonderful and celebrated. That really helped me.
And I think that's one of those pieces where whether you're struggling around your religious or spiritual beliefs, or you're just really struggling in your own thoughts about being gay, if you're only living half a life, and I'm testament to this because I was, as you know, married and living in a married lifestyle, and I know the feeling of that half life. It was very much, I'm not truly being who I am. And I was watching Martha Beck on Oprah's Live class when the first Live class happened last year. And she said something that's struck a chord with me. I use it all the time when I'm having these discussions. Anyone who's pretending to be something they're not is only living a pretend life. And if the other person that they're having a dialogue with is to pretending to be something that they're not, then they're also having a pretend life. So now suddenly the two people are having pretend relationships as well. And I think this is where the half life that you just described is so valuable. If you're only living a half life, are you really even having a life, even with your spiritual guide or with your God? Because you're not really truly being who you are. So we are going to go to break here in another minute or so, but I think this is a really great place for us to jump off when we come back from the segment and truly talk about what are the things that we can, in our own mind's eye, as we look at coming out. And I want to, we'll keep focus, Salvatore, around the religious piece, because I think this is really important for so many people right now. But I want to invite everyone to be thinking in their own minds as they listen to this, what is that piece that's holding you back? Whether it's your own spirituality or your religious beliefs, but what in that world is truly holding you back from stepping in fully from this half life into a full life? And this is a life lesson that bridges over everyone. So we're going to be back in just a few seconds. And I want everybody to, while we're on break, think about what is it that you're not doing right now that is keeping you from living a full life in your spirituality, your religion, and your sexuality. We'll be right back after the break.
You've been listening to The Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with coming out coach Rick Clemons. We'll be right back after these messages.
I look into the window of my mind.
Join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Helen Wu was born and raised in San Francisco's Chinatown, and after a very difficult upbringing, fighting depression, abuse, and addictions, she finally finds herself genuinely happy inside and out. Helen believes in taking our positive thinking and doing something positive to achieve a positive outcome. She's here to make a positive difference in your life, to be your game changer, your aha moment mentor. She's ready to help both men and women get into a better place. Helen Wu is also the author of Self-Aid Success Stories, 25 Success Stories from Successful Entrepreneurs. Inspired by Ellen DeGeneres, Helen wants the world to know that just because we find ourselves in a difficult situation doesn't mean we have to stay there. We can aid ourselves to a better life. So join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com.
Goals, objectives, business and action plans. How important are they for me to manage? Whether you're an executive, entrepreneur, or maybe you're just someone looking to advance your career and want to be confidently prepared for your future, business and life coach Carmen Carosa can help you remove obstacles and move forward in the right direction. Carmen is known as the Real World Coach for a reason. His no-nonsense style, along with an innate ability to form connections with people, gives you a unique opportunity to see higher and further than ever before. We live and work in an ever-changing, complicated world that can leave us with questions about every decision we make. Join host Carmen Carosa, business and life coach, on Forward Motion every Monday at 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern on the Rockstar Radio Network. You will realize dreams and aspirations you thought were out of reach.
Welcome back to The Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemons.
Hey And welcome back. We are talking with my good friend Salvatore Sapienza, and we're talking religion, sexuality, and spirituality today. So we're going to jump right back in because we're in a really good space right before the break. So Salvatore, I'm going to ask you a question, and I want to get to talking about some of your books. But if you were working with someone, or you were to give someone some advice who is really having this deep struggle between who they are sexually and we're trying to reconcile their religion or their spiritual beliefs, what would be a couple of really powerful tips you would give them?
Well, the first I would say is, you know, regardless of their spiritual beliefs, they to remember that we were created by a divine, whether you refer to that as God or spirit or whatever, is that your connection that you feel when you are at prayer or meditation or you feel that connection is you were brought here, you were created into being for a purpose, and that purpose is to lead a full life. No God would ask their child that they've created to live just half an existence. We've all come here to be all that we can be, all that we've been created to be, and that is a life of prosperity and abundance and happiness and joy and all of those things. So you can't have that. You can't have all of that, being openly gay and being a person that is deeply connected to religion or spirituality, however you define it.
I have a question. Yeah. I love what you just said because I agree with you 100%. But let's go, you and I have been through this, let's go right to the heart of it. So you're coming out, you're kind of trying to reconcile this, and then wham, there you go. The mother, the father, the aunt, the uncle, grandmother says, no matter what, you're damned to hell. How do you overcome that in your own mind? I don't want to get into the defense with someone else because that's a whole nother ballgame. But
sure.
How do you?
Yeah, I think. Yep, that's a really great point, because that really is the key thing, is to kind of move away from what people say in terms of dogma. To me, spirituality is very, very different from, say, religious dogma. There are faiths and religions who believe a certain way, and nothing that you can say or do is going to sway them from that. I think what I would say is to a gay person is when you are alone, when you are going within, when you're in those moments of quiet, some people call it meditation or prayer, when you are alone with your God, what are the answers that you are getting? What is the connection that you're feeling? Because that really is the core of spirituality. Religion is an organized way of trying to make rules and dogma that followers are supposed to adhere to. But really the core of spirituality is your connection with spirit. It be still and know. And in that be still and know, what are the answers that you're getting for you? I think for me, that was the beautiful aha of, oh, okay, this is what it's about. And the more I developed that, the more I was able to say, you know, yes, maybe the Catholic Church does say this, but that's not my truth. You know,
right.
That's not my truth. I was going to say, Rick, like we said at the top of the hour here, is that, you know, it took me a good 7 to 10 years to come to all of this. So it's not something that, you know, you get to right away, but to really just be patient with yourself and to spend a lot of time in the silence.
Well, I think it's being patient with yourself, and as hard as it may be, is to be patient with others as well. I was talking with a good therapist friend of mine the other day, and we were talking about, you know, communication and things like that. And because I've got a client that's kind of a challenge right now, and I'm kind of on the fence whether they should be working with me as a coach or whether they should be working in therapy. So I was chatting with him, and you know, one of the things that he brought up is, you know, any time that someone is in a confrontation or in a discussion, we as the listener have two choices. We can either listen and defend, or we can listen to learn. And I think as someone that goes through the coming out process, oftentimes it's very easy to flip into, I hear what someone's saying, and now I got to go defend my position. Instead of taking the first road of, I'm going to listen and see what I can learn from why they're so scared, they're so fearful, they're so concerned, so that I can really understand what they're saying, so that we can get to a whole new level of truth. And I think this is where, if you can so beautifully, as you said, step inside yourself and learn your own truth, then maybe there's no reason to have to defend. This just becomes my truth.
That is so great, Rick. You know, and that's why I called, my first book is called 70 times 7. And it comes from the Bible, where Jesus is asked, you know, how many times do I have to keep forgiving somebody who wrongs me? Seven times? And Jesus says, no, 70 times 7 times. And right. I called it that because the book, the main character in the book, who is a gay man like myself, who was struggling between the two, was he had to learn to forgive the people in his church who were raised a certain way, who did have a certain set of beliefs, and to keep forgiving them was a big process. And I think, you know, there are some who, when they talk about their faith, want to close the conversation. And right. what I like to do is talk where I'm broadening the conversation. Mm-hmm. I think that's great. I think that that's perfect, is being patient with ourselves, but also being patient with people who aren't on the same page as we are.
Well, and I think what you just said is, I'm going to repeat what you just said about not closing the conversation, but opening the conversation. We as humans have been socialized to be the winners, quite honestly. It's always, I have to win, until we consciously begin to realize it isn't about winning or losing. It's just about being in the moment. And trust me, I'm one of those guys who is very much a winner sort. But as I've come through my own journey and experienced different things in my training as a coach, I've begun to realize when I open, I allow. And I love that you brought up the forgiveness thing, because it reminded me of something that I use from time to time. But if you take the word forgive and you take it and split it in half, it really is the word for, F-O-R, and the word give. So when you're forgiving, you are for giving something back to someone. And I don't think many of us really think of it that way. It's really powerful when you split the word and go, this is for giving. You are giving back and really trusting that this is what that person needs in that moment. And it isn't about right or wrong, good or bad, or winning or losing. It's about, let's just forgive that this even occurred. Let's give back to the relationship, et cetera, et cetera. So as you go ahead.
I was going to say that's a great way of looking at it. It's about saying, you know, in a situation where you feel hurt, is to say in forgiveness, thank you for giving me this. Yep. You know, way that this lesson, everything is a lesson. Everything that happens to us is. But it's about just, you know, saying that, thank you for giving me this, and releasing it and letting it go.
Yeah. And that's a really powerful space. And, you know, a little bit ago when you were talking about, you know, the spirituality piece within our own community, and some people kind of looking at you like, well, that's kind of weird. I kind of had to go through my own weird coming out process around this. I mean, as a gay man who was married and had kids, I'd obviously had lots of interesting little journeys around fitting into the community. But one of them was, I had a really hard time with the leather community that resides in our gay culture, until I realized that a lot of those guys that are into the leather scene are highly spiritual men, very spiritual men. And I suddenly started to see a whole new side. And then I started to go explore other pieces of our community. I started looking at, you know, okay, so the leather community is very spiritual. And then the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, they're very much about spirituality. And then I started having conversations with, you know, the people who make us laugh, the drag queens, and realizing how deeply spiritual. And it was like, oh my God, there are so many spiritual people within our own community that we don't even recognize as a community at times. Do you see that as well?
Absolutely. And that's the thing about us remembering, you know, I think we get so hung up on religion and organized religion, and we forget that what we're really talking about is spirituality. It's the way of connecting with our spirit, the way of connecting with the being all we are supposed to be. And so, yes, we see that in the leather community. We see that in the transgender community. That's very spiritual. And I think, again, that's why gay people throughout histories and various cultures have been spiritual teachers and leaders, is because by going through what we go through, we become more of our authentic self, which is what spirituality is. It's about becoming more and more of your authentic self. And we get to do that where most of the world struggles a lot with that. So we can kind of, in our coming out, we can help other people, straight people as well, come out to their authentic selves, which is, you know, what the spiritual journey is.
Yeah, I agree. And when we come back, we're going to go to break in about another minute. But I don't want to miss this piece, because I think this is where the bridge comes. And I'm being challenged a lot right now in my work through some relationships I have with some fairly big organizations to create the bridge conversations. And I love how you just shared this about how can we use this to help our brothers and sisters, gay or straight, to really begin to step into their authentic self. And when we come back, I'm going to share a quick little anecdote around that about something that just recently happened for me. And also, when we come back, I'm going to have Salvatore talk a little bit more about his books, as well as give us his website so you can find out where to get his book. And we'll end the hour by really talking about what does spirituality mean on the other side of the closet? Because I think this is a piece that often, once we come back to our spirit and who we truly are after we've gone through that closet door, if we don't come back to it, we will continue to lose ourselves. So we'll be right back on the Coming Out Lounge in just a few moments.
You've been listening to the Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons. We'll be right back after these messages.
I look into the window of my mind.
Ministry is filled with both highs and lows, victories and struggles. It can be the best job of the world, but it can also be the hardest. Where do you find the balance between serving God and the joy of truly knowing Him? Wellspring, Tending the Heart of Ministry, with Joanna Weaver. Thursday afternoons at 5 p.m. Central. Join us each week as pastor's wife, best-selling author, and host Joanna Weaver interviews women who serve God from the heart, both those who are well-known and those who minister in less visible ways. You'll discover tools for the ministry, but more importantly, you'll learn how to give God access to the deep places in your heart. For ministry is more than what we just do in public. It is who we are in private. Wellspring is here to inspire you to look into your heart of hearts and invest in the place ministry truly begins. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So join us for an hour that just might change your life. It's Wellspring, Tending the Heart of Ministry, with host Joanna Weaver. Thursday afternoons at 5 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com. Tune in to the Travel Chick Show with Bonnie Kitohata, Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific here on the Rockstar Radio Network. Bonnie will share with you an hour of travel ideas, experiences, adventures, and tips from her guests. Topics range from local day trips to international excursions, from organized professional vacations to spur-of-the-moment getaways. For fun or business, groups or solo, by bus, car, plane, train, boat, bike, hike, or horse. You'll also hear about travel-related subjects like cultures, travel photography, keepsakes, and more.
Whether you love to travel yourself or you enjoy seeing the world vicariously through others, join us and enjoy travel stories from around the U.S. and around the world. For more information on the Travel Chick Show, check out Bonnie's website, thetravelchick.com. Then join us for the show, The Travel Chick Show, live Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, with your host, Bonnie Kitahara, here on the Rockstar Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemens.
And we are back going into the final segment here on the Coming Out Lounge with my good friend, Salvatore Sapienza. And right before the break, we were talking about how, you know, so much of what happens in spirituality becomes a bridge conversation between not just the gay culture, but the straight culture as well, and how tapping into who you are as a spiritual being serves everyone in society. So part of getting to that societal piece of what is spirituality all about is kind of going back into the annals of time and looking at the past history. So I know, Salvatore, that you have explored this quite a bit around how culture has always had gay individuals in very prominent positions in the spirituality mix throughout time. So why don't you share with the listeners a little bit about that?
Okay, great. Yes. You know, I mean, for me, that was a big, huge thing to discover that in different faith traditions. I think some people now are hearing more and more about the Native American Two Spirits, or they call them the Burdachi. This was the gay person in the tribe who the chief of the tribe would go to before making any decision, because he looked at the gay person as being the spiritual leader. They call them the two spirits because they believe that this person possessed a perfect balance of masculine and feminine energies. And many faith traditions, the Hindu tradition, for example, many of the Hindu deities are depicted as both male and female. And it was believed that that perfect balance between masculinity and femininity in a person was the opening to the spiritual realm. There are some tribes in Africa to this very day. For example, there's a tribe called the Dogara tribe in Africa, in which the gay person of the tribe, again, is the spiritual leader. They actually refer to this person as the gatekeeper because they believe that they can open up the realm between the physical world and the spiritual world. And so it's so interesting how in the cultures, and many of them we would refer to as cultures who come from a tradition that's very much grounded in celebration of the earth and connection with the planet and all of that, how they are able to, in many ways, have a better understanding of how things operate, is that they celebrate the gay person as the spiritual teacher, where we in our Western religions say that the gay person is so far removed from God, and in many times is referred to as being evil or the opposite of God. Here in these other cultures, this is the person who's looked to as being closer to God, and this is the person that we would go to for our spiritual advice. To me, I think that's very important, and that's why I wrote a book which is called Gay as a Gift, in which I go through all of this. It's not an academic book by any means. There are many academic books that are written on these topics, but mine is a very simple, easy guide to kind of just for gay people to learn about our spiritual history. That's what the book is about.
Okay. So sorry about that. We had a little bit of a technical difficulty here, but we're back. So, Sal, I missed the last bit you were talking about there.
Okay. I was talking about how from the Native American Two Spirits to the Dogara tribe in Africa with the gatekeepers, how in many traditions, many faith traditions, the gay person in the community, in the tribe, was looked to as the spiritual teacher or the spiritual sure. leader. And so I wrote a book called Gay is a Gift, which is a way to help explain that to people who kind of look at we in our Western religion, Western culture, our religions kind of look at gay people as being so far removed from God, and to kind of show them how historically gay people were actually looked to as being closer to God, closer to the spiritual realm, because they possess within themselves this perfect balance of the masculine and feminine energies, which many faith traditions see as the opening to the spiritual world.
I think this is really what's so interesting about when we allow ourselves to go explore and see other vantage points of humanity, sexuality, spirituality, religion, life. When we allow ourselves to go see these things, it opens up a whole new dialogue, and it opens up a whole new way of being in the world and opening those arms to embrace what is and what other people have to say from this perspective. So, okay, so if you're listening, we're kind of flying a little bit blind here, so I know we're getting close to the top of the hour, but before we do, I want to make sure that Sal has a chance to tell us where people can get his book. So go ahead and give out the website right now, Sal.
Oh, thanks, Rick. Yes, the name of the website is gayisagift.com. It'll give more information about me and about my books. As I've mentioned, the first was called 70 times 7. The second is Gay is a Gift. And my latest book is called Michael's Prayer. I mentioned mm-hmm. about how I had worked with Father Michael Judge. And we would begin each day before we began our AIDS ministry saying a prayer, which has become known as Michael's Prayer. And so I write a book about him and this prayer and spirituality. So if you go to gayisagift.com, it'll tell you where you can purchase all of those books, and I'd be so grateful for the support. And then there's also information on that site about how to contact me. So if any listeners have any questions or comments for me, I welcome them.
That's very good. So as we're getting close to the top of the hour here, one of the things I always think is really important when we're having these discussions around religion, spirituality, is to really give people that sense of it does get better. And I know for me, it does get better from my own journey into who I am as a spiritual being. But for others, there may be that feeling that things really aren't going to be the way they should be if they come out of the closet. So we kind of talked about some advice and tips for people who are feeling this, but I think on the other side of the closet door is where some of the beauty happens. When we realize now we're out, we're starting to go through some acceptance and being in the world as a gay person, but what if we don't bring our spirituality back into play? What do you, from your perspective, Salvatore, what do you think can be some of the downfalls if we don't allow our new spirituality to come forth and really be in it?
Yeah, I think that is the reason why many people are still so unhappy or so unfulfilled in life, is because there is that missing component, the spiritual component that I think many people still think of as that means religion. I'm not saying that that means you have to go to church or belong to some organized religion, but what I do mean is, what are you doing to nourish your spiritual self? We are body, mind, and spirit. What are you doing? And I think when we don't nurture the things that connect us with our spirit, we tend to be people who are unhappy or depressed or just don't have the tools when we get to kind of a snag in the road, don't really have the tools for how to deal with them effectively. I think spirituality is a huge, huge component of what makes us tick and discover our authentic selves. So yes, coming out of the closet, that's a huge spiritual thing, whether we define it as that or not. It is just you're stepping right into your authentic self, but that doesn't mean that the work is done.
Right. Well, I think this is a lifelong journey, and this is where we kind of bridge once again that it's the conversation between, it isn't just about being gay, it's about being human. That anytime, you know, if you don't eat, then you get hungry. If you don't drink, your body's not going to survive. If you don't sleep, then, you know,
These are all things that require that we're required to be living and being human in the world. And it's kind of funny that, as you said, I loved it when you referenced this earlier, we'll go to the gym, we'll do all these other things, but if we don't nurture our spirit, what's the point? Is really where the conversation needs to go. It's what's the point if we don't continue to nurture spirit and nurture our inner peace of mind? So we've got about 3 minutes left till the end of the show, and I think this would be a great place to talk about how can someone continue to nurture the spirit, even if they don't feel that they can participate any longer in organized religion. So what would be your suggestions there, Salvatore?
The first thing is I would say put yourself in those positions where you experience just silence. And however you do that for yourself, for some people it's going on a long bike ride. For someone else it's going on a hike through nature. For someone else it's sitting in a room lighting a candle and just being quiet. I mean, there are many ways to kind of go within. I think that is the very, very first thing. When you go within and you connect with your spiritual self and you're kind of seeing the awe of life, is then to ask, you know, what show me the next step. I mean, that really, I mentioned the book Michael's Prayer, but that really right. was Michael's prayer, which was just to ask spirit to guide you onto the next step of your journey. And so that to me would be the first and key thing, is to find where it is you best connect with the silence, with the nature, and to go within. That's where all your answers are.
Right. And I think that's a beautiful place to really wind down the show, in that when you go within, you're going into self. You're not going outside, and your maker, your spirit, your relationship with whomever you're trying to be in that spiritual moment will join you in that quiet and silence. I think that's one of the most valuable things that we can do to wind up the show. So I want to say thank you again, Salvatore, for being here. Sorry we had the technical glitch, but I know anyone who listens to this will gain many, many points of wisdom. So until next week, we're going to be signing off here real soon. And just remember, it's your inner spirit that brings your outer joy. And it's your inner spirit that gives you peace within, and it's your inner spirit that continues to help you to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth each and every day. Have a good week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today with the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemens. Make sure you tune in with us next week, same time, same place, for the Coming Out Lounge.